the day that you've made. And Father, we choose to slow down from our day, from our stuff, and rejoice, give you praise. We honor you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. I ask you to be present amongst all that we do today, whether here in the house or when we go about our day, Lord. We thank you for it. Amen. All right. Hey, I agree with Marilyn. I think if you don't have a good reason why you can't come on Wednesday night for the next 5 weeks, I encourage you to come for the next 5 weeks. 6 o'clock, Pastor will be teaching. He'll teach here in the sanctuary. We are recording it, so if you can't get away, if there's something that keeps you from being here, you can watch us live online. You can watch it after. We'll post it and we'll upload it and do all that, and we'll make it accessible. And I know watching online is good, and I know downloading it is good, but it's better here. There's a strength that comes from being together that is hard to equal on your own. Okay, so I encourage you to get here. If you can't get to all of it, get to some of it. But be intentional. What's your purpose to do will cause change in your life. If you just kind of float around, tossed to and from with every wind of doctrine, that's what you'll get. You'll get tossed around. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being tossed around. So I'm going to talk about, I don't know if everybody knows, if you're here and you don't leave the sanctuary, you don't go into the cafe or the family room or the youth room or any of that, you haven't seen that we've been in the midst of remodeling. We've been in the midst of all kinds of really wonderful, exciting stuff. So I want to kind of give you a little update on that. As of yesterday, they finished the drywall in the youth room. They primed yesterday. The youth room has a nice coat of gray primer all the way around. It is not the final color. It is just the primer. But it looks really good. If you have a chance, go back and take a look at it. The family room, they fixed the wall that used to have our play yard on it from all the nail holes and the screws and all the stuff that held the play yard up. It's all been repaired and re-drywalled and textured and primed yesterday. And so it's just starting to come to change. You can see we have new lights. The lights are working, and we're learning to work with them. And that, I woke up this morning, got dressed, and I got here, and I realized probably wearing a blue shirt in front of the blue wall was probably, I probably looked like everybody online to one big floating head. Rob, feel free to change colors if it makes me look better. And if it doesn't, big deal. Yeah, there they go. So, I want to talk to you about the journey that I'm on in the midst of the journey that we're on. Does that make sense? See, because for everything that you're in the middle of, there's others going on their journey at the same time. And as a corporate, as a body of believers, as a family that walks together, we're in the midst of a journey. And it's in the midst of the drywall dust and the smell of paint and floor finishes and all the wonderful things that you have to put up with. And I want to thank everybody. I want to thank all of you, one, for being gracious as we tear apart the building and rebuild it, to just keep coming to church. Because it's been some moments. I think there was a couple weeks ago they had a Monday night prayer meeting while Pastor was in England. On the same night, they were finishing the floor in the family room. And it was about as toxic in this place as it could be. I mean, the guys, it's how bad it is. The guys all have respirator masks on, and the prayer team out here is praying while they're in the other room doing that. And I want to thank you all. I want to thank you for being gracious and extending grace where grace is needed as we walk through this journey. Now, I want to take a moment, and I want to flash backwards. I want to go back to the wonderful year of 1987. Does anybody remember 1987? Good. Some of you might not even have been born by 1987, but in 1987, we had a word from God. We were still at the the church over on Santa Rosa. We would every Sunday was a journey. We picked up everything. We moved it in the sanctuary, set it up. At the end of the day, we moved it all out. We shared a building with another church in that. And we had a prophetic word that came by Dan Chesney. Everybody, if you've been with Jubilee for any length of time, you know Dan and Nori. They were just here this year, earlier. And Dan gave us a word. And it was one of those words that when you heard it, you could go, oh my gosh, that's a great word. Or you could go, oh my gosh, that's a terrible word. And the word was, you need to move. And I'm paraphrasing. Pastor can fix my paraphrase. You need to move from the place you're at or the church will die. And it was a strong word and it was a wonderful word. Because we were growing. We were a growing church in 1987. We were busting out of the small bank building off of Santa Rosa. So due diligence went forth. We found this building. And by Easter of 1988, by the beginning of the first part of the year, we had moved into this building. We had taken occupancy. We had moved in. If you're sitting on this side of the room, you were in the sanctuary. If you're sitting on this side of the room, you were in someone else's building back in 1988. We came in, we took over the building, we did all kinds of tenant improvements and that. And in 1988, I had been saved for, or 1987, 88, I'd been saved for 6 years. I was still what I consider a new believer. And that may not be. Maybe in your first 6 years, you had advanced. In my first 6 years, I was still a boot. I was a young cub. I didn't know what I was doing in that. And so everything that, every work day came, I was here. Every opportunity, I was here. I loved hanging around with the believers. I loved being in the midst of what was happening at church. Somewhere over there was my first real experience with a ladder. They stuck me up on an extension ladder and said, hey, go up there and wire these lights. I'm like, wire lights? I was a truck driver. I drove for an oil company and I'm up there wiring lights. And I remember being up there and thinking how great it was that people were watching out for me while I was on a ladder. Because I don't like heights. I don't like being up there. And I've learned over the years, it's not the height that bothers me, and it's not the fear of falling that bothers me. It's the sudden stop at the bottom that really ruins your day. So I was just up there doing my best for God, wiring lights. Red wire to red wire, black wire to black wire, white wire to white wire, green wire to green wire, come on down. Okay? And all of a sudden, my only thing about that thing was I told the guy who was with me, I said, you stay at the foot of the ladder and keep your foot on the ladder and I'll go up. And he's like, no problem. So I'm up there wiring lights and I look down. And there's nobody at the foot of the extension ladder. He just wandered away. He's getting coffee. So that's what a work day can be like in 1988. I was young in the Lord, and I wanted to do everything. And Proverbs says that a young man's glory is his strength, and an old man's glory is his gray hair. It's the sign of wisdom. Okay? 1988 was my boot camp into Christianity, into what God was doing. I did everything. When I first got saved, I realized that my ministry gift was that of a servant. And somebody told me that the greatest among you in the kingdom is the one who serves. And I believed it. I still do. But then I believed it and really felt like I could achieve it. I was wholeheartedly, and I pushed all the chips onto the table, and I was there all the time. 10 years go by. It's 1998. In 1998, if you were sitting on this side of the room, you were still in the sanctuary. By 1998, this side of the room was our rec hall. We had a basketball hoop for our kids. We had We had hopscotch, we had Foursquare, we had a shuffleboard, but shuffleboard painted on the floor, but we had no shuffles or no tools, but it sure looked good. Sure looked good. It was a really impressive room in that. But by the middle of 1998, we tore down this wall and made one larger sanctuary. And again, you think, well, why do we do that? Well, in 1997, Pastor got a word from God, and it said that he had need of this place. He had need of this place. God had a plan that was greater than us. And so in 1998, we tore on a work day. Amongst of it, we tore down this wall. We enlarged our sanctuary. We bought all these new chairs. We changed the carpet. In 1997, we had green carpet in the sanctuary and orange chairs. Okay, think about that. Green carpet and orange chairs. We were trendy. Nobody else had green carpet and orange chairs. And you can figure out why. 1998, we got rid of the green carpet, the orange chairs, changed all our classrooms, new family room extension, new, back then, the Victory Storehouse, which is now Channel of Blessings. Everything got remodeled in 1998. And by that point, now, I was in the midst of training. I was being trained in leadership at that point. And so I was the church janitor, and my job was to clean up after the at the end of the day and make sure everything was good. And so we went through work day after work day after work day to make this place because Father said he had need of it. Okay? Jump forward a few years, we get into... we changed the sound system. We remodeled again the Channel of Blessing. We added a backstage area. We split offices. We had a flood. We had a flood in that time period that we lost all of our offices because of a backed up pipe in the restrooms. Came in one morning for morning prayer, and the river had been flowing all night, and we had to. Redo all of our offices at that point. And I tell you all those things because sometimes in the midst of seeing what's being done, you don't realize all the stuff that has been done. And you lose track of that. Yeah, I told someone the other day, I said, it's just a warehouse. Then I had to take that back. I said, no, it's not. It's God's house. It's God's house. The reason we do all this stuff is not because it's a warehouse. We do it because it's God's house. So kind of just move forward. We've remodeled. Now we're in the midst again, 2014. Well, 2013, we renegotiate our lease for five more years. We get 2 months worth of reprieve on our rent, and we get to use it towards tenant improvements. And we're in the midst of all that. And the funny thing is, when we did that in April of this year, Pastor said, give me a timeline. Give me a timeline when we can have everything done. So I said, okay, well, for me to give a timeline, I need to meet with people. I need to talk with people. I need to find out what we need to do done. So we did our due diligence. We did meetings. We talked with people. We asked where the needs were and that, and we figured it out. And so by the best of my understanding, I told Pastor, I said, we could be done by the end of August. We could have it all done before we, as we end the summer. We'll do work days during the summer. We'll make it all happen, and it'll be in good shape as we enter into the fall because we have our fall conference. We should be in good shape. That being said, we didn't start in April. We didn't start in May. We wanted to start in June. We were still trying to make decisions on what kind of floor we'd put in the family room or the color of the paint and all the rest of it. So needless to say, we started mid-July. And I remember telling Pastor before he left for England, I said, we can still be there by the end of the month, by the end of August. We'll just work harder. Again, the gift that God's given me is as a servant. And as a servant, you don't consider the cost. That's the master's job to consider the cost. As a servant, you just do. You just lay it all out there and you go and you get it done. So, but it was interesting. Back in 2012, I heard the Lord on a Wednesday night service speak to me and say that I don't call you a servant, I call you my son. And I remember it distinctly because it totally changed the season I was in. It totally took me out of a mindset of just complete, and be in that task. And I remember it totally messed up my life because I heard the Lord tell me, you don't have to do anything. I preached on a Sunday morning and told everybody, I don't have to do anything. You know, and I remember people come to me going, you can't say that. You can't tell the congregation that they don't have to do anything. You know, and I remember people telling me that, and I was like, oh my gosh, did I really said that? Funny, under the anointing, you'll say stuff and you won't have any idea of the repercussions of it. You'll just say it. You'll just say it. And I remember saying, you don't have to do anything. So I've been on a season since mid-2012 until now of God trying to teach me what it's like to be a son. Not a servant. He's not going to change my giftings. He doesn't change the gifting. He's trying to change the attitude of your heart. Okay? I am always going to be a servant. I will always have the gifting. The gift and callings are without repentance. I could be a terribly rotten sinner, and God would still let me have the ability to serve, to organize, and to understand administration. It wouldn't matter. You've all been there. You've been on the lot with a used car guy who's prophetic. You've been in your work with the guy who has great vision and has apostolic calling on his life, but they're unsaved. You've been with the person who's a teacher. The gift and calling is without, you don't have to know God. God is so gracious, he gave it to you before the foundation of the earth, and he'll let you live by it and die by it. Okay? So I will always be a servant, but God's desiring more than a servant. He's desiring a son. And so he's totally changing the way I think of things. That being said, we come into a building process. We come into a remodeling, really. It's not really building, it's remodeling. And we're in the midst of all that. And everything God's doing with me, he keeps speaking to me as a son. Yet my default mechanism in life is a servant. So, you know, pastor's been teaching us, and we'll, I'm sure in the next few weeks we'll get more, understand more, and we'll get more. Is that in Hebrews 10, it says that you have access. Immediate. I always look at it, it's immediate and instant access to the throne room of God. Okay? No matter what your day looks like, no matter what the scene world is throwing at you, you can step out of the scene, and we've talked about this many times, you can step out of the scene and into the unseen by coming through the blood of Jesus, coming through the veil of his flesh, and coming into the presence of God. And in the midst of the presence of God, God will talk to you. He'll wash your body with the water of the word. He'll cause your conscience to be cleaned and not to be clouded with the sin and failures that you're in the midst of. Okay? So in the midst of all this stuff, I'm finding myself striving to get back into the presence of God and not get locked up in the old model of having to do things from a servant. Okay? Because the difference between a servant and a son is a servant has to. A son wants to. Okay? A servant has to do what the master says. A son desires to do it. He makes it his joy above all things to do it for Father. Okay? So, we're in the midst of all this, we're past few weeks, and I find myself, and everything that God's talking to me about in the midst of all the stuff has nothing to do with the building. I said, but God, we're right in the middle of this building. Why are we talking about me? Okay, so let me just back up. As a servant, my default mechanism, okay, my default programming in life is to control. Okay, when pressure comes on, right? And I said that what pressure is pressure is God's opportunity for you to see the light of Jesus in your life in the midst of a light affliction. That's what a trial is. It's not meant to cause you to be shipwrecked. It's meant to cause you to see the glory of God in your life, okay? But in the midst of pressure, and has anybody here ever done a remodel at their home? Anybody here painted your kitchen? Chris, keep raising your hands. In the midst of that, that's a stressful time, right? There's pressure, okay? So in the midst of all these things, in the midst of the floor, the cafe, the youth room, the ceiling, the electrical, the air conditioning, all the stuff that's being just handled and touched and in the midst of it, in the midst of the long evenings. And my default mechanism is always to come back to try to control. Okay? The way I control is I make lists. I'm a to-do list person. Pastor will tell you, when I first got hired on, anytime we'd meet, I'd have a list. Okay? Lists are great. Please, don't get me wrong. To-do lists are wonderful if they're freeing. To-do lists are bondage if they hold you in a place that causes you to lose your place. Okay, so I'm the king of lists. Always have been. But over the years, God has been freeing me from the list as a make it from a note as opposed to a ball and chain that holds you into a place that's not yours. So in the midst of this, I find myself wanting to control things. And my way of controlling is to write a list and note who's responsible, because if they're responsible, then I'm not, and I can be free. Okay? I create lists so that I can complete them, so that when I'm complete, I can rest. But by the time I get to the end of the list, I've created another list. Does that sound like anybody else? So I have a list to manage my lists. It's crazy, okay? It's crazy. But I find myself trying to control circumstances I can't control. Like when the painter will be here. When the air conditioning will work. When's the thermostat going in? What about this? How about the floor? And I find myself just being squeezed in by my own control. Okay? So in the midst of it, I keep coming back to God and saying, what are we doing? Why isn't this working? I need your help. Now see, if I've learned anything in the past season, I don't have the luxury of going to God and complaining about my circumstances. I get to go to God and just worship him and be with him and spend time with him. How many here like when your kids come to you and just dump their problems on you? I don't see anybody. I don't think God likes it. He's so big and he's so gracious and he's so kind and he's so loving that he can just absorb it and take it and hold it and deal with it. But I don't think it's the way he wants the relationship to go. I think what he wants is he wants us to just come into his presence, be with him, worship him, be thankful. How many here change a question? How many here like when your kids are thankful and grateful? We don't like when they complain. We do like when they are thankful. Anybody see something there? Is that resonating for anybody but me? So I try not to come to God and just, you know, verbally throw up all my problems at him. Okay? I'd really rather come and just say, you know what? I'd rather say nothing and just be with you than come here and just leave all this stuff. So in the midst of trying to do this and hearing God, I'm listening and saying, okay, God, what are we doing? What are you saying? And everything he says is about me. Every complaint, every attitude. See, Galatians says that if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, right? So My goal is to walk in the Spirit. Right? Because if I walk in the Spirit, I'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I've often thought about that, is that walking in the Spirit is walking in continually in God's way with His attributes. Okay? That's not on your own strength. That's walking on His understanding, with His grace, with His ability. That's walking in the Spirit. Contrary to that, the lusts of the flesh are my way with my attitude. Okay? It's not all about the sins of walking in the flesh. It's the attitude of walking in the flesh. And Proverbs says that a backslider at heart is filled with his own ways. When you're filled with your own ways, then you're walking out in the flesh. You're not near God in that point. So I find myself every time I come to God, or every time I'm in the midst of a project and I'm frustrated, I don't see the movement or the momentum or whatever it is in the midst of the project. I'd want to say something. I'd want to force something to happen, and God wouldn't allow me. I remember one night, the best, it was one night a couple weeks ago. It was on a Tuesday night. I didn't teach Saved Your Seat because I was in the midst of a process and a progress, and we're doing the floors. And so Becky taught it, and everybody was gone, and I was the last person locking up the building. And I'm walking out, and I'm just coming to God, and I'm doing what I don't like to do. I'm complaining. But I'm complaining about me, because the whole time that night, everything I'd try to do, I had a bad attitude for. I was like, well, if you just finish, then we'd be done. If you could just get this done, then we could move on. And I just found myself in an attitude. And that's where all of a sudden, so I remember standing out in the parking lot and just going, I would really like the grace to be done. I'm tired of the building process. When will we finish? You know? And all of a sudden God said, when you're done. And I went, are you referring to paint? Or the floor? Or, and what he really meant was, when I'm done. He's looking at my heart. And so I said, God, I used to like doing this. Now everything that I do causes me to be frustrated, causes me to be anxious. It causes me to be fearful. I says, why is that? And he said, because I'm working on you. Wow. Corinthians says that, do you not know? Which leads me to think that we should know. Paul's writing. He was kind to say, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So in the midst of all the stuff, in the midst of vendors and people and contractors and work crews and that, God's saying, I'm working on the temple while you're working on the church. Okay, I'm working on something inside that needs to be dealt with while you're doing that. And it seems that everything he's working on is my impatience, my control, manipulation, my past failures, the shames, you know, everything. Every single thing that would happen. It seems every workday we've done and every extended night that I've been here, when I've left, God would talk to me. He would talk to me. He wouldn't talk to me about Glenn. He wouldn't talk to me about the guys working. He wouldn't talk to me about the guys that came and helped on the wall. He didn't talk to me about any of them. Everything was about me. Every individual instant he would bring up. And he'd bring it up not in condemnation. Right? Romans 8 says that there is no condemnation. So even though he would point out my flaws and my failures, which is not really like God, he usually lets you just realize them. But he would point them out. And then he would look at the attitude. And he'd ask me simple questions like, why do you do that? And I go, why do I do that? You know? And we just have simple conversations about what he's doing. Just simple conversations about it. About why do you try to control that situation? And I'd say, because I want to get it done. He'd go, wrong answer. And I'd say, because I'm afraid. Because my identity is still as a servant. I'm trying to accomplish this. I'm trying to make the house. And then you get every once in a while, I'd throw, I'm trying to make the house of God nice. And he'd go, so am I. And I'd say, God, so you don't like when I default back to my servant mindset when you freed me to be a son. But I'm not good at being a son. My default always seems to go backwards. And he'd say, but that's what we're working on. That's what we're working on. So Wednesday night, I'll end with this. Wednesday night, pastor was teaching. And that was almost the last thing he said in the service. I think by that point, he was so into the anointing, I don't think he even remembers what he said. I haven't talked to him about it. But it was just one simple phrase. It was one simple phrase. I was working in back in the media room, working the switch. I had my notebook and I was taking notes and all that. And the phrase, when he said it, it just so impacted me. It so grabbed me that I just wrote it down. I wrote it down. And it was one of those times I wrote it down and I circled it. Because I said, I gotta remember this. It was real simple. He said, we're entering into a new season of letting go. Okay? Because that's what I've been talking with God. I've been saying, God, why is this an issue? He says, it's not an issue if you'll yield. Right? If the thing that you're in right now is an issue, if like my needing to control the process is not an issue if I yield. If I say, you know what? You choose the paint color. No, really, you come and finish this job, and I won't worry about it. If you can yield to whatever it is, the thing that's pushing on you and causing pressure, then it's not an issue anymore. So pastor says, we're coming into a new season of letting go. And I said, God, letting go is just yielding. It's not, you know what, if I can hold on to this, or I can let it go. Most of the stuff that you, there it goes. Good thing I wrote all these notes because I haven't looked at them once. The thing is that to let go is to forgive. It's to release. It's to no longer hold an account of. And so what I've been practicing is letting go. Just let it go. It's not my issue. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. God's going to do it or he's not going to do it. And then why should I have to keep an account of it? Why should I have to come to some completion on an end if it's not there? Let it go. So pastor says, we're coming into a new season of letting go. And it's just like I totally stopped. Totally stopped, wrote it in my notes and listened. And I said, God, what are you trying to say? He goes, I want to complete what I started. And I said, so do I. I was talking about the building. He was talking about me. See, in worship, we all hear about the bride. And we all hear about the spot without spot and wrinkle. And we all get excited of it. But God's dealing with my spots and my wrinkles. And I'm kind of guessing I'm probably not the only one. If I am, sorry for holding up the movement, but but I look at it and go, God's doing something. So I hear pastor say, we're coming into a season of letting go. And I say, God, I want to let go. interesting, and I'll end with this. Back in April, when I thought we would start the work days, is the midst of tax season. My wife works for an accounting company, and she's on her way to work. And this is a great testimony. She's on her way to work. She listens to the radio on the way. She listens to the Christian radio station, Air One, and they're in the midst of their fundraising efforts, and Veda decides, you know what? I listen to this radio station. I'm going to give to it. I'm being fed. I enjoy what they're putting out, so I'm going to give something to it. She goes to work. She calls them up, gives them the credit card, the debit card, and gives an offering. And they nothing major, nothing, no earth-shattering incident happened at that moment. About an hour later, she's listening to the radio at work, and they're qualifying people for a trip, a free trip. This is the qualifier. So they all of a sudden they choose the name and they say it's Veda Rogers. And so Veda goes, oh, I'm qualified. You know, they qualify for 48 hours, one person every hour. So that's 48 other people who are going to be in this qualifier for this trip. And so she doesn't think anything of it. The next day she's at work, she's listening. All of a sudden she gets a text from a friend and she says, congratulations. And Veda's looking at her phone. You know how you do? You're like, congratulations for what? Well, Veda was not at her desk, and they announced the winner of the trip for the 48-hour time period was Veda Rogers. Veda doesn't even know. Someone's texting her saying congratulations. So Veda wins a trip for all expense paid for 7 days to Disney World in Florida. We're so clueless. She gets, they tell her that, and she thinks it's 7 days in Disneyland, and she's like, oh, big deal. You know, it's Disney World. And so, long short of it is, I find it very ironic, I find it very humorous in God, because my goal was to be done today with the building project. And if you're going back, we're not done. And I'm going to let go. I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to yield to the process of that. But here's the funny thing. We leave tomorrow for Disney World. You know, I find it very humorous in God's economy that he sets up back in April that I have to leave. I have to go. It's a forced vacation. I'm feeling really bad. But you know what? But here's the thing. I say that jokingly. That, yeah, but you know what? It will. But yes, it's a reward, and I accept that. But the thing is it will be as much for me to get on a plane and to let it go as it would be to stay here and complete it. It'll be as much God working in me in that moment to be able to let it go and let others, let you, those of you who can, to be able to step in and do. And I'm not asking anybody to do. I'm just saying, but it takes as much of that, because what God's working on me is to let go. Let go. Because if something I'm holding on has the power to keep me from doing what God wants, then I'm in bondage to it. Okay? If this building, if the task list can keep me from doing what God wants me to do, right? Or in your life, if there's something that keeps you from doing what God wants you to do, then it's in control of you. You're not in control of it. So today, as Pastor said, we're entering into a new season of letting go. I'm going to say, by the Spirit, to let it go. Let it go. Don't ignore it. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it's there, and then let it go. Step away from it. Say, I'm canceling the debt. And for me, the debt's not what someone owes me. It's what I think I owe me. It's some standard of completion, some level of expectation. So as we head into the nation's prayer, and in honor of the trip to Disney World, I'm just going to play a song. It's not a Christian song, but I'm just going to play it. And for you, think about it. there's something in your life today that you need to let go to follow God. It doesn't have to be sin. It has to be something that is your choice to freely let go. So go ahead, Brian, turn it up.
A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small. Bothered me anyway.